You're listening to Jazz 91.9 WCLK. This is Jazz Tones, and our special guest today is Jonathan Butler, who was born in Cape Town, South Africa. He was one of 12 children. He began playing guitar as a child. Believe it or not, he started touring at the age of 7 with a traveling circuit-like show, and he was a member of the Cape Town jazz rock group Pacific Express. He soon signed with the Jive Records and moved to England. You know, he lived in England for about 17 years, and he adapted to playing guitar and singing, has been compared to George Benson. But most of all, his hit single Lies was nominated for a Grammy, and he has recorded over 25 albums. He's recorded spirituals, inspirationals, gospel, as well as jazz and R&B. He's considered the leader in the smooth jazz and R&B fusion genre. Without any further ado, I'd like to bring on Mr. Jonathan Butler. I'd like to welcome you, Jonathan, once again to gracing the airwaves of WCLK. My show is Jazz Tones, and I've had the opportunity of following you from your first release, Lies, all the way up until now, 25 releases later. And one of the most... I followed you. Pardon?
Is it 25? Wow.
25, right. But, you know, you've had an impact in many ways on the world. And what I mean by that, you're very altruistic, and your new release coming out, Grace and Mercy, is not only filled with soulful sounds and insightful lyrics, but it also gives the spiritual side of you. What was your inspiration? I want to start with that first. What was your inspiration for this upcoming release?
Well, you know, I've been a Christian for many years, and you know, I've always sort of been outspoken about, you know, who I am and where I'm from and what I'm about, and a lot of it, I guess, in my younger years, the battle between just becoming comfortable in my skin and expressing that spiritual side of who I was. Maybe at the time I was a little bit timid, you know. But I think as I fully accepted who I was as a Christian, and I felt the music was affected by that. Obviously, my life was impacted by that, and so it was about 10 years ago or so. I started writing gospel music, you know, just for me, and. I had this ongoing vow between me and God, and I would say, if you give me the songs, I will sing it, you know. And so one time I actually wrote an entire album, and just as I would have it, I met an old friend of mine, and he's connected to a Christian record label, and they listened to the stuff, and I got signed to Maranatha Records. But I had a very... I treaded very cautiously because I didn't want to be perceived as an R&B or jazz artist who just couldn't figure out what else to do with their career. So now let me experiment with gospel, you know. And so to me, it wasn't really like a means to experiment. It was really my life. It was really what I felt was my calling, you know, was my destiny to be able to walk in that and be able to share that through music, even through jazz or whatever it is, you know. And I've just been blessed to be able to have this parallel career where I'm able to play jazz and world music and being able to play gospel music, and people sort of have come to accept me, you know, for who I am and the way I am, and I really, really, you know, really, like, honestly embrace that, and it's just and it's a freedom that I have, that I found. As an artist, as a person, because some people are not comfortable altogether.
But you've done well. I mean, your lyrics have always touched the audiences, whether you did jazz or R&B.
And one of the things, I appreciate that.
No, that really is what caught my eye when you first hit the scene, was how you lyrically expressed yourself with your instrument. And a lot of people cannot do that. They may connect with the instrument, but not with the audience. You have the ability to do both. And the interesting thing about it is that you started touring at the age 7 with a traveling circus-like show.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I mean, you know, again, it's really about the pain of the journey and the hardship of growing up and the joy of doing something that I love and always wanted to do, because my family, my parents and my brothers and sisters were in music, you know. There was always music in the family.
With all 12 children and the parents.
Yes, we all participated in, you know, in local variety shows, and you know, our parents even promoted us in variety shows, and so I became sort of a household name in the community, because I sang in Malay choirs, wore the kufiya, you know, in the Malay choir, and then I did the carnival, which is huge. Carnival is really where you are tested in terms of, do you have rhythm?
Do you have
they'll
rhythm?
Soon discover if you, they'll soon discover whether you have or not, you know.
Go ahead.
Because the South African, the Cape Town Carnival is like Brazil. It's exactly with floats and music, and you know, it's pretty incredible. If you ever in South Africa in January, you will experience just such a broad, across the board variety of cultures, cross cultures.
Well, you know, that's
the root. You never found that in Johannesburg or Durban.
Only in Cape Town.
Only in Cape Town.
Interesting.
Is the carnival known?
It's carnival. Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's incredible. And my father was in the carnival, my brothers, and I was in the carnival. Won several competitions as a juvenile, you know, and through that, my brother was in a play, the Golden City Dixies play, and my sister was in the play, and so. The guy who obviously owned the play, directed the play, he wanted me to be in it because I was one of the youngest to even be in the play at the time.
At what age?
So, yeah.
I mean, at what age were you when you were in the play?
I was about 7 years old.
You were 7 years old when you were in the play.
When I joined the play, and it was a pretty amazing, wow. It was a
phenomenal experience for your age.
Oh, man, it was incredible. I mean, we traveled with our own stretchers, our beds, you know.
Mm.
Traveled with your own enamel mugs, your enamel plates, your knives and forks, and your bedding. You traveled with all your stuff, and you slept in the venue. You slept in the stadium. You slept on the street in caravan. Like, we were a big community. So we stayed in people's homes, not hotels. So we traveled together, and it was a whole community of people together. We rehearsed every day. We did dress rehearsals. We did
every day
inspections, breath inspections, alcohol inspections.
The discipline.
It was pretty like being in the army.
Like being very disciplined. Let me ask you a question, John. How did you manage to make the transition into other genres of music? Because you've been able to do jazz, R&B, gospel.
You know, what was great about that experience was the play consisted of Zulus, Xhosa, English, Afrikaans, Sotho, Brazilian. So the cast was vast of color and culture. So I started listening to music. By the time I was 12 years old, I had a Jack DeNature album. Mm. I had albums by the Jazz Crusaders, the Brecker Brothers.
You gotta be kidding!
I had a record player in my that I traveled with.
That you traveled with?
That I traveled with, and I was like the youngest cat on the play that the older guys used to really love, because they were like surprised that I would be listening to this kind of stuff.
So you was a hip young man, huh?
Aretha Franklin. My God, I had, I had every, I love the Spinners. You know, I was a big fan of the Spinners and the Four Tops, and I had all, you know. And so what it was is like the play consisted of so much different variety of artists that I grew up with this love for just music, you know.
Could you get that music on in Cape Town? Any of the music that you listen to, could you get it on radio?
At about 11 o'clock at night, they would play, American stuff. But a lot of music was imported because of censor boards, you know.
That's right.
South Africa was under strongly apartheid rule.
During that reason,
so
yes.
You had to really have guys who came from the States to bring the records over to South Africa.
To South Africa, right.
And because I didn't have any formal music education or education, period. I mean, I probably went to kindergarten. That was it. And so my learning, you know, experiences was on the road.
You were self-taught, and people taught you.
Self-taught, yeah.
Right.
It was self-taught, yeah.
Mm. Very interesting. One of the things that I've noticed about you over the years is the fact that you have been you had the ability to transcend not only time, but multiculturally, people have embraced you around the world. And
I pray, thank God for that. Man.
Yeah, no, well, yes. And when I first heard you, even up until now, it has always been you've been able to give the personal touch through your recordings as well as your performances to your audience. You know, how do young people embrace you? You know, because you've been able to transcend a number of age groups.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because my children now, they listen to, you know, to all the young and hip stuff. And,
right.
You know, if it's Beyonce and if it's, you know, if you know, if Robert Glasper is another one of their favorites, you know,
right.
Taylor's and all stuff. But when I'm around them, it's like they really dig. They kind of go back now and say, Dad, you know, those records you did was awesome. And, you know, why don't you bring some of that stuff back into your set? And so I've started co-writing with a lot of younger writers.
Oh, good. Have you thought about remixing any of your music?
Actually, there's somebody in England is actually re-releasing a whole bunch of stuff of mine in England.
Oh, re-releasing? So, but I'm talking about remixing. There's
you never know, man. I heard some remixes in South Africa. But interestingly enough, I was with Marcus Miller 2 days ago.
Oh,
Marcus
good.
And Marcus and I co-wrote a song for my new album. And we just talked about just that transition and the relevancies of staying in the game and the longevity of staying in the game.
But you're a pioneer.
And we were talking about Herbie, how amazing Herbie is always able to transcend. Evolve and recreate, you know, and reinvent himself.
Reinvents himself. Well, I was with Herbie last year, and it's amazing because I've been following him since Watermelon Man and Tell Me a Bedtime Story back in the 60s, and his transition from... I would even say from Miles Davis to Fusion right on up to now to be able to connect the dots. And that's the same thing that you do, the ability to connect the dots, because Marcus Miller was with Miles Davis too.
Exactly. You know what, man, I have a simple philosophy, you know. I mean, this world, you know, for me, there's enough soil to dig up and there's enough jewels to find. I mean, I think, as an artist, you have to constantly dig up the soil and turn the ground, and you know, what saddens me is when we sort of get to that place where we peaked and we can't go any further, and so, you know, we have all the accolades and all the stuff that we won and achieved, but we can't get beyond, you know, to the next place. And there's so many ways. There's so many. Avenues I still find that I'm excited about.
I'm very excited that you're coming next Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm excited too, man.
At Cobb Energy Center.
I just happen to love Atlanta. I told my wife a couple of days ago, I said, you know, if we didn't do LA, I would have wanted to stay in Atlanta.
But you know,
I love Atlanta.
You know,
there's a lot of musicians there, a lot of, you know,
yeah, they're great.
That I know that I always used to jam with as well.
Man, I look forward to seeing you. I just want to take the real opportunity to let people know, to get some insight on who you were, what you've done, and, you know, where you're coming from inside your heart. And that's so important. Any final words for our audience?
Well, you know, I tell you, let's talk about turning up the soil. I mean, I think our lives, you know, this is a continued thing. It's a continued journey. And so I really appreciate the listeners and the fans for supporting me and for keeping on listening. You know, I just happen to love representing South Africa through music and having been embraced here in the States. And support has been awesome. So I really appreciate it, man.
No, I appreciate you. Remember now, you come from the homeland, so you bring us the root.
You got to. You got to come with that.
You brought the root, my brother. So
yeah, you got
to
come with
it. I look forward to seeing you and talking to you. But most of all, I wish you the best and continue to inspire the audience through your altruistic heart and the love not only that you have for the music but for the people. And I appreciate you. And I look forward to
Thank
seeing you,
you
Wednesday.
Bro.
Okay, my brother?